Genesis 35. Verse 11, we'll look at several aspects here of this story, but verse 11 is all we want to work with here. Interestingly enough, you'll find this command, if we refer to it as command of the Lord, you'll find it given to Adam in 1:28, and you'll also find it given to Noah. 9:1. And now here with Jacob. Verse 11, let's read together. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Praise God. Be fruitful and multiply. That's the phrase that was given to Adam and also to Noah. You believe God's interested in growth?
Yes.
You believe God's interested in fruitfulness? Amen. Amen. Why would he say it to these three that we find in Genesis? And then, of course, we know there's more than that. But the Lord and his power, I believe, desires to be displayed. You may be seated. God bless you. Now, Jacob has this privilege of being in the presence of the Lord again. Verse 9, God appeared unto Jacob again. I like the opportunities we have to be in the presence of the Lord again. And the blessing of the Lord again. Amen. And to hear his instruction again. Just like he did before, and he blessed him. He blessed him. Now, this is chapter 35, which, of course, is much later than what happened to Jacob in chapter 32 when he wrestled with the angel. But the Lord is affirming and repeating what he spoke to him at that time, 7 years before. Now, the Lord is reminding him of what took place. Your name will no longer be Jacob, it's Israel. You're a prince with God. You prevailed and have power. Amen. And thank God, that divine change, oh my, what a picture of God's grace, God's love, God's mercy. Amen, is it? And a picture of Jacob holding on and not letting go, and wanting a blessing from the Lord. And the old Jacob, we'd like to think, was killed that night. And a new Jacob, Israel, walks forth. His walk has changed. His purpose is different. And praise God. Aren't you glad you've had a change by the experience of God in your life? Amen. And how the Lord makes a thorough change. Amen. If we allow him to, and that blessing he desires to bring forth. Amen. Now, Jacob, we know his history. We know his background. 20 years before this event, he has left home, and he was fearful for his life. He had, we'll just say it like it is. He had cheated his brother, Esau, out of the birthright, out of the blessing. And so Esau was very upset with him. But yet at the same time, we know how Esau really didn't value spiritual things. He really didn't look at how things could have been. You know that familiar phrase that occurs in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? It really should have been different, shouldn't it? It shouldn't have been Jacob. It should have been Esau, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But it didn't turn out that way because Esau didn't value spiritual things like he should have. Now, he did receive blessing. He did receive the multiplying, but he didn't hold on like he should have. And so Jacob was concerned, this time 7 years before, and he sends gifts to his brother Esau as he is returning back to his homeland. And his men return, saying, "We delivered the gifts, but your brother Esau is coming, and he has 400 men with him." Doesn't sound like a very encouraging, welcoming committee. Doesn't sound like a good reception and a celebration and so on. It sounds like things are not going to be fruitful. He's not going to be multiplied. And so Jacob is a desperate man. And this chapter is recounting what happened in chapter 32, a desperate man. He's separated from his family. He's separated from his wealth, his belongings, his flocks, all of his riches. And he is left alone with God. That's what it comes down to, isn't it? A lot of people with fame and fortune sometimes are going to count on those things to bring answers and bring privilege and open doors for them and so on. And I'm never going to know how that operates, but I see it. And yet, they don't find the answers that they need. Jacob was a desperate man. Look back in your experiences in the time that you were desperate, and how the Lord came on the scene, whatever the need was. It may have been an immediate situation. It may have been something a little longer term, but the Lord was there. Amen. And thank God for how the Lord is able to do a work, even in desperate situations. I remember Brother Hernandez telling about a security tape. And I think it was in Florida. A holdup was taking place at one of the convenience stores, that are with the gas stations and so on. The man burst in. This is all on the videotape, security tape. He bursts in and announces a holdup and is yelling, "Give me the money. Open the cash register. Give me the cash now. Hurry," and so on. And the clerk is very upset. She's fumbling around. She's trying to comply, and she's beginning to pray, beginning to call on the name of Jesus. "Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, Lord, help me." And the man's screaming, and waving his gun around, and she's desperately trying to get the cash register open. And in her desperation, calling on the Lord, she receives the Holy Ghost. She begins speaking in a language she doesn't understand. And the gunman is standing there trying to figure out what's going on here. And he finally just dashes out. Brother Hernandez said that's an actual tape. You can see that. You can Google all kinds of things. I wonder if that's on there. But that's an example of desperation. Jacob was desperate. Look at Job 6:26. The desperation that may come to our lives sometimes. I don't think the Lord treats you like a pawn in a celestial chess game. You're expendable. You don't matter. He just moves you around on the game board of life, so to speak, and waits until you're good and desperate, and then he steps in. No. Job is talking, "Do you imagine to reprove words and the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind?" He's having difficulty here. These counselors they're condemning him. I mean, they're trying to console him. They're trying to counsel with him and comfort him and so on. He calls them miserable comforters. And his desperation here, he wonders. Desperate. We all, Jeremiah 17, 9 concludes that we all have a desperate situation within us. Whether it's a desperation that we express, like a, you know, like the young man who came to Socrates and asked him for wisdom, and Socrates led him to the lake and out into the water. What is it you're seeking? Wisdom. And Socrates was an athlete as well as a philosopher. He grabbed the young man and plunged him under the water. He came back up sputtering and said, "What is it you're seeking? Wisdom." He dunked him again, held him under a little bit longer, and brought the poor man, young man, back up, and he's breathing hard. He's gasping. "You're seeking what? Wisdom." And he dunks him a third time, holds him under a lot longer this time, and bubbles are starting to come up. He brings him up. He said, "When you want wisdom as bad as you wanted air, you'll find it." Well, that's pretty drastic. We don't hold people under the water in baptism. That might be a good idea, though. No, better not. Better not. But the desperation. Look at Jeremiah 17:9. Desperately wicked. Desperately wicked? Huh. That's the problem with mankind. That's a situation that cannot be fixed by philosophy, by religion, by New Year's resolutions, no matter what. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And thank God the Lord is the one who can fix that. The Lord is the one who fixed Jacob. He appeared to him again. Praise God. And I'm so thankful the Lord doesn't say, that's it, Jacob, you fouled up once too many. Too bad. That's the end of it. But the Lord made a promise, and thank God, Jacob likewise responded with a promise. Save me, deliver me. And my brother Esau is seeking after me, and I need you, Lord. I need your help. And the Lord gave the promise about his descendants being like the sand of the sea. That's pretty incredible. Abraham had that promise too, didn't he? Stars of heavens and sand of the sea. Praise God. That's growth. That's fruitfulness. That's increase. And that's what God wants to do for us. Amen. And thank the Lord, we can put our trust in him and recognize, okay, God, growth is in your plan, and we're going to believe it, and we're going to receive it. And if we have to become desperate for it, and that probably is a big key, desperate enough to fast and pray, desperate enough to teach some Bible studies, desperate enough to bring somebody to share group, desperate enough to go by and pick somebody up for Sunday school and bring them to the house of the Lord. Amen. That desperation is what the Lord can honor. Thank the Lord. But oh, what a tremendous change that came to Jacob. I'm so thankful for the new birth. In a sense, there was a new birth that happened to Jacob, and the change that would come to him, the power of the new birth. Amen. You know, there has been in recent days young leaders in the Christian community, let's call it, who have changed their lifestyle, changed their beliefs, changed their teaching. And what's sad from a leadership standpoint is they haven't quit leading. They were leading then, and they're still leading, but saying I was wrong. I apologize to the LBGTQIFGWXYZ people. I apologize. I was wrong. Another songwriter from a group well known with lots of coverage in the gospel music world. Can't believe that God would send somebody to hell. Well, whether I believe it or not, it's in the Word of God.
Right.
And I, who am I to say, I just can't believe that. That's a... Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And the article that I read lamented the fact that in their leadership position, this man who is a prominent author and a pastor of a mega church, we call it, thousands and thousands of people attending, lost his marriage, lost his ministry, and is now, well, obviously has lost his grip on Christian. He said, the definition of Christian that I had before, I am not a Christian. He's saying that about himself. And then he apologized. Well, go to 1 Corinthians 6, and it's still there, whether you apologize for it or not, whether you claim to believe it or not, it's still in the Word of God. Verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Is that what's happening? Is that what's going on with these people? The songwriter from Hillsong who says, I can't see where God would send people to hell. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And it's very plain in the new translations what those words mean. Very plain. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if that was the end of it, if that was the conclusion, it would be pretty sad. But praise God, verse 11 gives the answer. Such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There's the new birth, water and Spirit. Praise God. And now because people disagree with that, they're changing their doctrine and their belief. Or because they disagree with it, they term it hate speech. Doesn't change the Word of God. And thank God for the change that the Lord puts in us through the power of the new birth. Transformed. Praise God. Transformed. Be not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2 says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise God. And thank the Lord, there's a renewal that the Lord continues to make within us. It's not a one-and-done situation. It's ongoing, a renewal that the Lord puts within us. Praise God. And I'm thankful that when there's a desire to draw near to God, that's what Jacob was doing that night. I'm not going to let you go. And the wrestling situation continued on. He wanted, he desired, he was desperate. And that gets rewarded by the Lord. Praise God. Look at James 4 and 8. Here's a promise that is very powerful. Read for us there, Brother Greg, please. And somehow we got the equation that you take one step towards God and he'll take two towards you. It doesn't say that. It just says draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Amen. And thank God in our desperation and our desire to draw nigh, the Lord is, boom, he's there. And his power and his presence is able to make a difference in our lives as we reach out to him. Amen. Because he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he brought a change to you. You're a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. You're a peculiar people or a special people unto him. Amen. And then Peter writes on and says, you have not obtained mercy, but now you've obtained mercy. You were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Praise God. And thank the Lord that new life situation steps into us. Now, all of these changes. I can look back on my experience as a young teenage boy, reading the Bible when I was in the hospital, almost reading it as a good luck charm, and then reading it when I got home. It was on my my drawers, chest of drawers that were beside my bed, and I would read it and feel so convicted and feel so fearful of hell. Didn't want to go to hell. Read about hell, believed there was a hell, and did not want to go there. So fear was a motivation to bring me to an altar where I prayed and cried and repented and asked the Lord to forgive me. Praise God. And I remember getting up from that altar and feeling so clean, feeling so light, and knowing how powerful that touch is. Amen. And then the waters of baptism, then the infilling of the Holy Ghost. How incredible. The Lord continues those steps as we demonstrate our faith in him. But if fear had been the only motivation, eventually I would step back and started to go in directions that I shouldn't and reaching out for things that I shouldn't. Because fear is not a, you know, that can become mild. And what should take its place? Love. Love. Praise God. Because then love will help you to live the way God wants you to and not lose out. Not lose out. That's unfortunately what some of these leaders are doing. But you know, there are so many people who treat the Lord like a fire extinguisher. Ah! Emergency! We need to put the fire out. Where's that fire extinguisher? Put it aside. Emergency's over. Got to clean up the mess. But we're done. Just continue on. No. Got to believe the Lord has got something more for you. All your heart. All your strength, all your mind, amen. Everything that you have within you is how you love the Lord. And that's the important way. Not by half measures, not by, I'm going to figure out here what I can reserve for goofing off and wild oats, you know, as the saying goes, and so on. No, if I want God's intervention completely in my life, I've got to give myself totally to him. And that's what Jacob was doing that night, and that's what the Lord's reminding him about. Amen. The intervention and how the Lord provided. Praise God. And what a reunion. Esau grabbed him around the neck, not in a stranglehold, not in a headlock. Embraced him. Wept with him. Welcomed him. Praise God. Amen. So Jacob has a new home. He has a new job. And he has a new relationship with the Lord. And look at the end of Genesis 33:20. You know, the names of the Lord, the names of the Lord are revelatory. The names of the Lord define him in greater measure. And hear this name. He built that altar, you know, this relationship with the Lord. This name simply means God, the God of Israel. And that Israel, that's his name. And so he's establishing that relationship even stronger. Praise God. Now, the next few parts of the scripture are not pretty. Describes the mess that man could make. The trouble that he can bring upon himself. The rape of Dinah, his daughter, and then his sons contriving a way to get even and slaughter and so on. Man left to himself makes a mess. That's why we need the power of God. We need the recognition that, you know, I want to be in the presence of the Lord. And so that's why 7 years later, here's Jacob. And God is making a renewal, appeared to him again. Praise God. I'm glad God didn't give up on him. I'm glad God didn't say, you're making a mess again. I'm just going to let you go on your way. No, the Lord gave him a reminder. I want you to remember, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. Amen. There's this aspect of the need to come back. Go back to the house of God. Go to Bethel, the house of God. Settle there. Build an altar there. God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau, will meet you there. Praise God. And I think that's why David would say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. The devil wants you to be mad. The devil wants you to be sad. But thank God we are glad when the Lord invites us back to his presence. And we're able to come together and know the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Come, let us arise and go to Bethel. This is 35:3. And Jacob is making this determination. I'll build an altar to God. And notice that. He answered me in the day of my distress. You ever have days of distress? I think we've had days of distress with capital letters, my word. But God answered Jacob. God will answer you. God will provide for you. Praise God. And thank the Lord, there's that recognition of I've got to keep coming back to him. I've got to keep reaching out to him. I've got to keep my eyes upon him. Amen. And lay aside the weights. Easier to travel without them. Lay aside the sin. Easily besetting. What does a modern translation say about that? Hebrews 12:1. Find it in NLT or whatever one you're using there. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us and run. Praise God. Run with patience. All right, what does it say?
Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up.
Okay, we're going to get rid of the weights. We're going to get rid of the sin that trips us. Is that what it says? Trips us? Amen. So there's it hinders you. It holds you back. It keeps you from making progress. And so that's a good thing to get rid of. Amen. Just to make sure I'm not gonna continue in that way. Praise God. But I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to keep renewing the relationship. Not because, you know, sometimes here's the problem. Here's the problem in our thinking. We're sliding back. We're moving back from where we should be. We have a special speaker. We have special services. We have camp meeting. Woo! And we're back up where we were. And then over the process of time, here we go. Losing our fervor, losing our desperation, losing our desire, and then something special again, and we're back. God wants us to go beyond, obviously. God wants us into new territory. Amen. New growth, new power, new blessing, new increase, new multiplying. Amen. And thank the Lord. Be fruitful and multiply. Praise God. And that relationship is designed for the increase that God wants to bring into your lives. Okay, we're going to go to Matthew 25, and I just want us to look at it from the standpoint of preparedness. Being prepared. We won't get into all of the perhaps parallels or metaphors or anything. We're just talking about you need to be ready. I need to be ready. Say that with me. I need to be ready. Amen. Okay? So Matthew 25, beginning at verse 6, it's midnight, and the cry goes forth. Behold, the bridegroom. Go ye out to meet him. And we know all the virgins woke up. All of them. They were all sleeping. Okay, I said we weren't going to get into the meanings of all of it here. We're just talking about be ready. Be prepared. They woke up. They trimmed their lamps. Foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. And then we know how the rest of it unfolds. But they that were ready went in. They that were ready. That's the focus that we've got to have. Because obviously there were some who were not ready. And they didn't make it in. The awareness, the need. You know, Paul called the Galatians foolish. You're foolish. You started in the spirit, now you're going to finish in the flesh? That's the height of foolishness. No, I'm gonna continue on with the way that the Lord has for us. Praise God. And know that there's a fruitfulness that the Lord is going to bless with. There's an increase that the Lord's going to bless with. There's a multiplication that the Lord's going to bless with. Let's keep being faithful. Let's keep working. Let's keep desiring. Amen. Abide in me, the Lord said. Stay with it. Be faithful. Continue that relationship. Abide in me. You're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear much fruit. You're going to bear more fruit. And your Father is going to be glorified. Praise God. And the evidence that you're my disciple is going to be displayed. Praise God. Let's stand tonight. Thank the Lord that His power is never diminished. It never wears out. As wonderful as the internet is, you can overload it. If we all got on our devices right now, our super fast internet would slow down. You just couldn't handle. You know, there are 1,000 people getting the Holy Ghost right now around the world. 10,000 people getting the Holy Ghost right now around the world. Praise God. I'm just estimating. But God has the power to minister to us right here, right now. Amen. Because it never runs out. How amazing. How incredible. Praise God. And I'm thankful that he's able to minister in that way. Can we come and pray here for a few minutes? We're going to go downstairs and have fellowship in a little while and then have a meeting about our fall fair. And but right now, let's just ask the Lord to meet with us here in this altar. Praise God. Coming back, because we want him to appear to us again. Amen. Amen. The Lord came to Solomon a second time. A second time. And Solomon, of course, requested an understanding heart, wisdom. The Lord was delighted with his request and gave him what he didn't ask for. God always has more. He always has more. Then he came to Solomon again. Unfortunately, Solomon allowed his heart to be led astray. We can't do that. Can't do that. No matter what the source, no matter what the distraction, no matter where it comes from, I've got to make sure. Lord, I want to remain with you. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us with that tonight. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let that power, O God, of your Spirit continue to abide within us. Oh, God, that we can walk in your Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God, O God, O God, that we can follow after you with our whole heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength.